I want to share a few scriptures with you. I'm usually used to preaching about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. So we are now 25 of, so, you know, we try to end at 12, and we will try to end at 12 today as well. So, because we're going to have food, and after we start smelling that food, then it's usually time to shut it down because everybody's thinking about food. Yep. So, when we look at the youth and all the things that people are saying about the youth of today, and of course, maybe teenagers, younger teenagers, we hear a lot of bad reports of the things that are happening. And you know, I like to focus on the good news and the good reports, because we always, if we only focus on the bad reports, then we don't get the true picture. And we don't get to see what God is really doing in our culture, in our society, because we're so focused on the negative news. But you can look online or you can look at different places and you find a lot of reports of God pouring out His Spirit on many, on many college campuses and high schools. An example, I read a report this week, and this just happened this week, in the University of Central Florida. And this is not just Christian schools where it's happening. I mean, they've had a major revival at Ohio State University. Is it Ohio State? Major revival there, mainly brought on by the football team. So in the University of Central Florida, I think it was Tuesday a week ago, the report said 5,000 students gathered to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. All we hear from the news is all these demonstrations and anti-Semitism and things like that. And if we're not careful, we focus in on that. But there, in many of the colleges, there's a revival taking place, as this example shows us. It is said, or in this report, 1,600 students made a decision for Christ. So awesome. Many were water baptized right away. So there's a lot of good things happening, not only in the University of Central Florida, but in many of the major universities in America or in our land. So let's thank God for that. Let's continue to pray for the youth, and let's continue to minister in any way God puts before us to all those children and young people that are growing up right before our eyes. I have 7 grandchildren. 3 of them are married. One of them is in college. And then the 3 younger ones, they are actually in a Christian school as well, but they go to Day Spring. And many of you have probably heard of Day Spring. So I am very familiar what a Christian school will put into these young children. And so thankful for it. Another ministry that I'm aware of good things happening, I have a niece. Her husband and his name is Cody and Tiana. They have a ministry that's called Unrestricted. And what they do for the last couple years, they go into the high school and have a service right in the high school. Like in the evening, you know, when there's not in school hours. And they gather up the Christian students in that high school. And then those students will invite many of their friends who don't know about God and don't know about Jesus. And they have these, and then they have these wonderful services. I mean, they have worship. They have miracles happening. These students get healed and things like that. And many of them getting saved. And then they have this metal tub there full of water. And if some of them want to get baptized, they dunk them right there. And it's just an amazing thing that's happening. Their goal was to get to every school in Lancaster County, every high school in Lancaster County. I think they have accomplished that, but they also have follow-up, like they have discipleship and things like that. So I'm sharing this because good things are happening. There's a revival in our land, and every revival, I think I'm safe in saying this, that every revival was led by young people. Charismatic move.
Yes.
Spirit of God fell on young people. I came through that. And today, God is ministering and reaching many young people. And we appreciate that so much. We thank the Lord for that. Now, since we're talking about children, I want to also talk about another, we may call it an issue, but I want to talk a little bit about the sanctity of life. I was not able to talk about the sanctity of life on that Sunday when many churches would talk about it. And the sanctity of life is actually the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, when the Supreme Court made a decision to legalize abortion. And that was in 1973. And the actual anniversary, I think, is January the 22nd. So then it's usually a Sunday before that or right around that time that many churches will talk a little bit about it. I feel as a pastor that it is my responsibility. As you see, I cry. I don't apologize for it. As a pastor, it is my responsibility to keep the church informed concerning some of the issues. Come on. We face in our culture. Some people say, well, you're getting political. I don't see these issues as being political. I see them as an issue of life and death. And we need to share the truth from the Word of God concerning these things. Since 1973, I don't know if I think I am close in the number here, 63 million aborted babies. We grieve for them. That is only in America, only in the United States of America. I don't know what the number is throughout the world. Now, we know there's redemption. We know there's redemption for those who have gone through an abortion. We know there's forgiveness. But let's not, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm sorry that, no, I'm not going to apologize. We know that life begins at conception. That's what we believe. That's what we believe as a congregation. That's what we will teach and preach. According to Jeremiah 1:5, God said to Jeremiah that he was formed, or that he knew him even before he was conceived in the womb. And then as he grew in the womb, it's very clear that God had a plan and a purpose for Jeremiah. I don't think that was just for Jeremiah. I think God has a plan and a purpose for every child that is conceived. And it doesn't matter how the child was conceived. It doesn't matter if it was through like rape and things like that. That child is still special in the eyes of God. So it doesn't matter how you were conceived. God has a plan and purpose for your life. Right from the time of conception. Are you here this morning? Yes. Psalm 36, verse 9, you can write the scriptures down because I'm not going to turn to all of them. Psalm 36, verse 9, it says, "For you, God, are the foundation of life." Yes. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." God is all about life. Yes. The devil is just the opposite. He wants to extinguish life because it's a slap in God's face, is what he thinks. And therefore, he tries to destroy life in many different ways. John 10:10, we all know this scripture. John 10:10, it says, "Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you may have life and life more abundant." Hallelujah. And because, like Ralph shared, because of what Jesus did to take the punishment for us, our sins are paid for and forgiven. And therefore, we can have the life of God on the inside of us. But Satan wants to destroy that life. In the Old Testament, Satan used the sacrificing of children. Even the children of Israel, God's people. At the end, it was one of the final things that I say broke the camel's back, the final straw that broke the camel's back. where they sacrificed their children to their gods. And the main god that they sacrificed their children to was named Molech. And Molech, I mean, we know it's a statue, we know that, but behind that, there's spirits. So in a sense, as they're doing that, they're actually worshiping the devil and the demons and so forth. So Satan used it even in the Old Testament, where he had the children of Israel sacrifice their children. I can't imagine that. I just can't imagine that. It's all rooted in selfishness. You know that?
Yes.
It's all rooted in selfishness. Well, I got to please my God, so I got to make a sacrifice of a child. Satan uses abortion today. He uses trafficking, which is so sad. Trafficking of children especially. Abuse, divorce, and the destruction of the family. Those are a few things that he uses. Children will always suffer more so than anyone else due to man's selfishness. I don't care if it's a divorce, I don't care if it's abortion, or if it's destruction of the family, those children suffer. Are you here today? We traveled to Rwanda a number of times, and Rwanda, a country in Africa, they had a genocide, I don't know, maybe 2000 or around 2000, where one tribe tried to kill off the other tribe. And we were there after that, maybe a few years or 8 years after that. And there were so many children where their parents were killed. So they suffer. Some children, they would flee into the forest and they come back and their parents are dead. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we also saw the same thing in Sierra Leone. We traveled to Sierra Leone many times, and they had a war in Sierra Leone, and the children suffered so much because they would come in, the rebels would come in, they'd destroy a whole village, and many of the children would flee into the forest. And then when they come back, the village is totally burned. They have no parents, they have no family left. But thank God for the gospel. Thank God. God's desire is that for us to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. That's our calling. Genesis 1:28, it says we are to fill the earth and subdue it. Now, in the way some societies have gone today, they're really not obeying that command. I just heard this week that Switzerland wants to put a cap on their population. How can you do that and still fulfill this? In Genesis 1 and 9, verse 1, God said the same thing to Noah. He said, fill the earth. So I say this, I agree with Charlie Kirk, where he would go on these college campuses and he would debate and bring the gospel. And he would usually tell the young people in the colleges, on the campuses, he would say, get married and have many children. And I say the same thing. Amen? Sometimes I won't say that. So get married and have many children. My dad was obedient to that command. My dad had 12 children. Her dad had 14, her parents. I mean, not just dad by himself, you know that. And you know, the Muslim culture that is trying to take over our land through communism and to try to get in Sharia law and so forth here, even in our land, one of the ways they do it is by obeying this command, because they have many children. And if you talk to Muslims, some leaders, they will tell you that it is their plan to have many children so they can take over an area or a country. They have literally done it in the nation of Lebanon many years ago, where the Christian population was having two children, and they were having, I know a friend of mine, his dad had 23, something like that. I know him in Sierra Leone. And I could tell you, it would take me too long to tell the story. But that is their plan. So let's be obedient. I mean, you have to listen to the Spirit of God. But let's be obedient to the command that God has given to us. Get married and have children. Amen. Come on, young people, you should be saying amen. Population control was a tool of the devil. Now, we don't hear much about it today because they have some other things that they're trying to make an issue out of. And like I said, Switzerland wants to cap its population. China, for many years, had a one-child policy. God is for life. God is for children. Even in our nation today, our leader Trump is encouraging families to have children. Why? Because if the population declines, the nation will be destroyed. And then I'll hit another one. Some couples are choosing today to not have children. I don't know why. Maybe they think they can't afford a child. Now think of the selfishness of that. Or maybe they just don't want the aggravation, can I say it that way, of having a child? Challenge? But that's all rooted in selfishness. Now, abortion, we know, is a sin rooted in selfishness. In fact, all sin is rooted in selfishness. It's always about me. Yes. But you know, God has forgiveness. I don't just want to paint a bad picture. I want to paint a good picture. Because our God is a restoring God. Yes. He has forgiveness for those who have experienced abortion. If we repent, and God will restore that person. The proof of that is in the Bible. The woman that was caught in adultery, God did not condemn her. Jesus did not condemn her, but he restored her, did he not? Now, I understand that there are probably some people here today that maybe you have experienced abortion. I don't know. I don't mean any condemnation whatsoever, but I know that God can bring restoration in all situations. There is hope. There is forgiveness and restoration for those who had an abortion, both for the mother and the father and the family that's involved. Our hope is in Christ. I said our hope is in Christ. Yes. And it doesn't matter what you've done in the past, our hope is in Christ. And as we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will restore relationships. He will bring healing to individuals, emotional healing or the healing on the inside, because he restores people. Yes. And when we minister to people, we always want to be that way. We don't want to come across with a judgmental attitude. That's right. Yeah. But always minister to people who have needs in these areas with great mercy. Because our God is merciful. He's been merciful to me. Yes. And he is merciful to all of us. So like I said, our hope is in Christ. What happens to all these little babies? What happens? I believe they all go to heaven. Amen. I believe from the time of conception, may it have been a miscarriage or maybe have been through some other like abortion and things like that. I believe they all go to heaven. Amen. I have two examples. Now again, this is not from the Word of God, but sometimes people experience things which give us glimpses. Now, we don't make a doctrine out of it, but it helps us in the beliefs that we have from the Word of God. We had been ministering to one of Kathy's nephew's wife, and we helped to rescue her from a very cultish-type situation so that she could have freedom, because they said, and this was in an Amish community, they said that she was mentally ill, but she was not. And it's because sometimes when individuals want to leave the Amish faith, that they just brand them as being mentally ill and they put them in counseling centers and so forth. Well, we got into the middle of this thing where we helped rescue her. Now, she didn't leave the Amish, but she was pregnant at the time and she had 8 children. And her husband is still today in prison because of the abuse that he was involved in, even with his own children. But they have a little boy named John. He's probably 13 or 14 by now. But I think he was 12 years old when all this was happening. And something happened. They had a fire at their house. And I guess he had died and he went to heaven. But he came back. And then he shared. I can just share a few little things. I have a lot of details, but I don't have time. So in his vision, he saw Jesus, And he said, there's many, many, many children in heaven. And he said, Jesus was in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Ministering to them. And this little girl comes up to him. This little girl comes up to him and he recognizes, and she said that she was a child of a neighboring family. And he asked her, I guess, what her name was. And she says, I don't have a name. I am waiting for my mom and daddy to come to give me a name. Now, I'm not going to make a doctrine out of that. But it's what he saw. So when he came back, he was talking to his mom. And his mom said, well, they don't have a little girl like that. They never had a little girl like that. But as his mom began to talk to the neighbors, they found out she had a miscarriage. That this Johnny, he never knew about it. So I believe it was that little girl. I believe it was a little girl that was the result of that miscarriage. I don't know if you've read the story about Heaven is for Real. That was pretty, a couple years ago, maybe even more. But this little boy, Colton, went to heaven as well. And a little girl came up to him as well. And she said that she was his sister. And here again, he had no idea that his mom had a miscarriage. So I apply that to any child that did not go full birth, any child that was not born after 9 months, and even it could apply to any children, because I believe all children go to heaven. But 63 million children in heaven, that's a lot, and that's not the final number, we know that. But can you imagine 63 million in heaven simply because they were aborted or never had an opportunity to live out their life here on the earth? Our God is so merciful. Yes. Our God is so gracious. He is so full of love. And like this little boy Johnny said he loved the children. He was playing with the children, and the children were all around him, and he loved them. And you know, that's scriptural. That's right. Because at one point, children came to Jesus when he was on the earth, and the disciples said, no, you go away. You don't bother him. And Jesus rebuked them quite strongly. I think that is in Mark chapter 10. And he rebuked them quite strongly. And he said, let the children come to me. And it says there that they gathered around him, and he prayed for them, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Let's make sure we do the same thing. Absolutely. Amen. And we can talk about a lot of other things, like adoption and things like that. Just this week, this is really sad. You know, it's not wrong to grieve with people, as long as you don't let that grief overcome you. But sometimes it's comforting for a person if you grieve with that person after they've had a loss. And that's why I have a nephew. It's my brother. His name is Merv. Merv and Kathy. He is number 11 in the family. And they have three children. And all three children are pregnant. And they are going to give birth within like a month or so. Can you imagine having three grandkids all at one shot like that? I love my grandkids. And so Hunter, his son, they lost their baby this week. It was full term. It was actually late, according to the due date. And they were in for a checkup, and everything seemed fine. A couple days later, I guess she was rushed to the hospital. And they did a C-section, and the baby didn't make it. Hmm. Yeah, it was their first child. It is their first child. They gave her a name, Nora Ruth. Beautiful name. And then they showed a picture on our thread, or our family thread. But sadness, but thank God for his joy because they're doing well. She's from Norway. He married a girl from Norway. And they're doing well. They are very hopeful and very positive in moving on in life. Of course, there's times of grieving. We understand that. So we pray for them. Father, we pray for Hunter and Teresa and the family. We pray for your comfort, your hope in their lives, in the name of Jesus. So then we say, okay, what can I do? Well, we can minister life and not judgment. We can be there for people that God puts us in contact with, that we can show the love of God and the mercy of God in their lives and help to restore them in their lives and into the kingdom of God. And a very practical thing we can do is we can vote for those who support life. Yes. That is something we can all do. I do not understand how a believer can vote for a person that supports death. I don't know where you're at with it, but I don't understand that. Because we can soon find out what the candidates stand for concerning life, and then we can make a decision that we're going to vote for life or for those who support life. Are you with me?
Yes, absolutely.
So we are to love children. Jesus loved children. We need to, when I was a little boy, I would go to church. I'm just going to go a few more minutes. I would go to church. I was an Amish, and we had to sit. We never had children's ministry or a children's church. So I had to sit beside my dad. And, of course, we had to hold still. I don't care how little we were. And if I didn't hold still, I'd get a pinch. And they would say, okay, you got to sit still. But do you know what God says about children? He says, let them wiggle. Amen? Jesus said, God said he would, of course, we would teach them respect and so on. But God said he would bless Abraham because he taught his children. Parents have the responsibility to teach their children in the ways of God. Grandparents also speak into their lives. And I thank God for my grandchildren. I tell my children sometimes, boy, would have been great if God would have figured out a way to have the grandkids first. And I just say it as a joke. And when you're a grandparent, you will understand. So those of you that are not. So don't provoke them. Encourage them in finding their purpose. Get down to their level. Don't be afraid to go down on your knees so you can be at the eye level and look them in the eyes. Encourage them. Encourage them. I envision a church full of vibrant, happy children. Amen. Vibrant, happy children. And then the Bible also talks about ministering to orphans. And I know this congregation has been involved in the ministry with an orphanage in India, Chennai, India. And this is what Pastor Israel sent us. He said, your financial support has helped us to give free accommodation, free food, new clothes, and free education to the poor, needy, deserving orphan children. We were able to provide these hurting, innocent children suffering emotionally and mentally and physically with the loss of a loved one through death or broken families. And we are able to give them a healthy, safe, joyful, and peaceful spiritual environment where these little children don't miss out on anything or long for anything. Through your monetary support, Abundant Life Center, we are able to touch lives and put a smile on their face and ease their pain by showing them the practical love of Jesus Christ through your giving. He says a little bit more there, but I think Donna is going to put the whole thing in the bulletin maybe next week, and then you can read the full thing. And that was a message from Israel, the leader of the orphanage that this church has supported for many years. Another thing about standing for life, we are not for euthanasia. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Right now, we need to make sure that we're ministering to the elderly, to the widows as well. Right now, we have Pop Dempsey. I was to see him on Tuesday. him not being here at church, that's a big hole. We knew them. We knew the Dempsey family from way back when the church first started, soon after we had started the church. But when I was there on Tuesday, it seemed like he had one foot in heaven and one on the earth. So we pray for him. We pray for peace. He wants to go. He's 97 years old, and he wants to go. So we're praying that he could go peacefully. And I know we'll miss him greatly. I know the family will miss him greatly. But we minister to all ages, and we minister life to all ages. Amen?
Yes.
That is our goal as a church. I want to see this church full of kids, vibrant. I don't care if they run around after the service. Don't worry about that. Let them run. I mean, as long as they're respectful to everything, you understand that. I could say so much more. Maybe I just need to do a whole sermon on parenting. I don't know. And I'll really get into your business. Okay, we need to close here. I want to say just a few more things about Grace Academy. Grace Academy has grown over the years, where today there's 109 students. And because of that growth, I believe we're at a place where we need to make some changes in the leadership of the school. Where the school had Shane and Katie were very much leading the school for many years. And we want to give them more support. So we're putting together a team. We call it the leadership team for Grace Academy. A leadership team for Grace Academy. We're putting a team together. Melanie is sitting back there. She's part of that, of course. Shane and Katie. And did I miss anybody that's here? And Janet. Yes, thank you, Janet. And this team will help, and we're responsible to make decisions concerning the overall vision and direction, including financial matters, budgets, and overall financial health of the school. We are going to send, hopefully this will come out right, Shane, but we're going to send Shane on a sabbatical for him to rest and be refreshed. Those of you that are in the school, teachers, and you're involved in the school, you understand. Sometimes when we're just constantly working, and constantly responsibilities, get bigger and bigger, if we're not careful, it can really affect us emotionally, and sometimes we need a little bit of time away. So the goal is for him to return energized and refreshed. This is some of his own words. So he can continue to lead the school to greater heights in success and growth. And we look forward to that. And as he is gone, and we'll make provisions where Katie can join him at times, as they are gone, let's continue to pray for them, that they would be encouraged, that they would be refreshed, and that they would follow what the Spirit of God wants for them. So in the financial area, presently we have a financial deficit in the school of $89,000 to finish out the year. Now that may have gone down a little bit. I didn't talk to Angie, who is tracking that. That may have gone down a little bit because of people giving and so forth. I believe in being transparent and letting you all know exactly where it stands concerning finances and things like that. So for one reason is, if you know the need, then you can be open to the Spirit of God to make an investment. But many times when we don't know the need, we don't even expect the Spirit of God to speak to us. So be open to the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, in leading us in making a financial investments towards this need. Share the vision with others. And whenever we make a need known, you understand that there is never any pressure. Anytime we have an offering, anytime we are supporting a missionary or whatever it may be, in this case, Grace Academy, there's no pressure. You do what the Spirit of God tells you to do. We shared this with the staff in Wednesday a week ago, and then we shared it with the parents Thursday evening a week ago as well. So if you want to be involved in this way, if you want to give, there's a basket in the back, and we'll have that basket there for a number of weeks. And if you want to make out a check, make it payable to Grace Academy. It is tax deductible because Grace Academy is a ministry under Abundant Life Center. A scripture that has been a blessing to me during this time. It says, God will generously provide for all your need. This is Corinthians 9, verse 8, 2 Corinthians. God will generously provide, I love it, for all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Amen? And that is my confession for Grace Academy. This is my confession. Our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will provide for every need we have at Grace Academy. Financial need or whatever it may be, staff needs. Grace Academy will continue to grow and have a solid financial foundation moving forward. Who's all involved in Grace Academy? Could you just stand, please? And I just want to have a prayer over you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for each one of these individuals who have given their life, given of their resources, given of their time over the years in Grace Academy. And we pray, Lord, moving forward, that there would be a tremendous grace and anointing on each one of them, that they would have the wisdom of God as they share and teach with children in the school. And we will support them in Jesus' name with our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, for just a time of anointing and refreshing for every person that's involved in Grace Academy. Thank you so much. So we can pray. We can evangelize or share the gospel. That's some of the things we can do in ministering the children. Lasting revival comes one heart at a time. So when I get somebody saved, that's part of revival. I mean, I don't save them, but you know what I mean. Minister, bringing hope to the hurting, and rather than mercy and judgment, let's minister with mercy, and then we can vote. I think I'm done. I told Kathy, I have 8 pages, and you know me. I usually have 1 page and have 3 sermons on that page, but that's why I wanted to be disciplined and wrote things down today. So thank you again for being here. They're all waving at me.
They want your attention.
Brad, where is he?
Brad has an announcement.
Brad has an announcement. Okay. I smell the food. Yeah. You are all welcome to stay for the fellowship dinner. And I know I'm being bold in saying this. If you didn't sign up, you can still stay. I think they'll have plenty of food. Amen? Oh my. Brad's birthday. Oh my. Thank you so much. I feel so honored. Thank you. You even have gifts?
Yep.
Thank you so much. Do I have to open them now?
No.
I can open them later, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We love you so much. Huh?
Hit the candle.
Well, we'll let it burn a little bit.
My hair's burning.
Am I supposed to blow it out?
Huh? No, go ahead.
Oh, you didn't have a like a tricky one. Thank you so much. Thank you. My birthday is on what, Friday? February 20. And 59 is good, right? I have to be 59, so I'm not lying. I'm actually turning 73. And some of you think, oh my goodness, he's so old. I'm not old. I'm just older than you are, so I'm not old. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, God is good. Thank you for bearing with us this morning. We went a little later, and we believe that we are open. We want to always be open to the Spirit of God in our services for Him to do, and to sometimes He hijacks what we plan to do, but that's what we want. And we appreciate the Spirit of God. I appreciate each one of you. So I think, is the food ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for those that are so faithful in preparing food for these meals. We thank you, Lord, especially for Brad leading up this part of the meal. And I know there's others back there like Rose and Ralph, and I think Diane helps sometimes, and different ones. Sorry if I missed your name, but we thank you for each one. We pray, Lord, that there would be tremendous fruit and blessings returned to them because of the many seeds that they are sowing. Thank you for the food. We believe it's sanctified in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a good week.